Good morning, church. It's a good Lord's Day already, isn't it? And it's just getting going. So I want to invite you to get your Bibles out and open them up to Acts chapter 8 once again. Acts chapter 8. We are going to be looking at a pretty lengthy portion of Scripture this morning. I'm not going to read it all to get us going. I'm just going to read part of it, but we are going to work our way through the larger section. To begin with, I'm going to read Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 31, but when we begin going through it, we'll go all the way through verse 40. This is what it says. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, toward the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Well, Father in heaven, this is your word, and this is an amazing section of your word we have in front of us this morning. Lord, it reveals the fruit that you bring about from your messengers, your people being obedient to your call in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that as we work our way through it, we would ask our own selves the question, are we being obedient? Are we being faithful? Are we doing that which you have called us to do? Or are we just suppressing things because we have a fear of man or for whatever reason? Lord, I pray that we'd ask ourselves these questions this morning and be honest with ourselves and honest with you. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit would do a work in us to guide us and direct us and correct us when we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, just to catch us up where we all are. At this point in the story of Acts, the church has spread from Jerusalem and pretty far at this point to the surrounding regions. It began in Jerusalem and was made up pretty much 100% of Jews who were raised in the Hebrew tradition. Now, very soon after that, it extended to the Hellenistic Jews, those Jews who were raised in a Greek culture and spoke the Greek language. But now it spread to be mostly Gentile Christians, mostly Gentile converts. The gospel is breaking all kinds of cultural barriers, language barriers, ethnic barriers, even worldview barriers. That's what the gospel does, by the way. It erases those lines that the world, especially governments, like to create to put people into different camps, into different groups. Because if you can put people into different groups, then you have teams. And the powers that be love dividing people into different groups because they can tell this group to hate that group, right? We've seen this right now in our modern day culture right here. But what the gospel does, it erases all those lines. It says you're all the same. You've all rebelled against your Creator, and you're all in need of grace and mercy. And if you turn to Jesus, you're all one in Christ Jesus. There is no, God shows no partiality there. So that's what the gospel is doing. Last week, we saw an example of a false profession of faith, false belief. We looked at the account of Simon the magician, who as far as what we have from the Bible made a false profession of faith. Could God have changed his heart truly later? Yes. Hope he did. I pray he did. But from what we have in the scriptures, this was a false profession of faith. He wanted in on the Christian faith, not because he had a desire to be made right with God, but because he had a desire to be loved even more than he already was by all the people. He saw the gospel as a means to get what his carnal and worldly heart desired, not as the means God uses to call sinners to himself. He even offered the apostles money in exchange for the supernatural spiritual gifts of God. And of course, they rightly rebuked him, saying, hey, you can't obtain the gift of God with money. May your silver perish with you. So Simon the magician is a classical example of a charlatan, a false teacher, a man who does not have in mind to do things for the glory of God, but to do things to bring himself glory. We spoke how there is a lot of that kind of thing in the world today as well. So-called preachers promising people that if they come to Jesus, they will get everything their heart desires. Telling people if they come to Jesus, he'll make their troubles disappear. He can even make them rich. Let me tell you this, if you come to Jesus for any reason other than he has come to give you life, then you're an idolater. If you come to Jesus for comfort, Jesus is not your God, comfort is. If you come to Jesus because some charlatan told you he'll make you rich, then Jesus is not your God, money is. We come to Jesus for Jesus. For who he is. We don't even go to Jesus for heaven. If your only reason is to try to follow Jesus because heaven has been promised, and you're off to a bad start right there. Jesus is the reward. He is the prize. Heaven is just a bonus. We turn to Jesus because of who he is, what he's done for us in laying down his life and rising from the dead. Simon the magician didn't want anything to do with that, though. He was only interested in increasing his status among the people. However, this week, in our passage, we are going to see an example of godly humility and authentic conversion with this Ethiopian eunuch. Both of these events happen under Philip's ministry. Again, this is not Philip the apostle. This is Philip we were introduced to in Acts chapter 6, who became a deacon in the church and now obviously has a preaching and teaching ministry. So that's who we're talking about here. And we're going to see the stark contrast between how this Ethiopian eunuch responds with how Simon the magician responded to the word of God. So let's look at it now, beginning in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." Think about this. Just in a matter of a few weeks, a month or so, Philip went from being just an ordinary church member, like most of you, to receiving a message from the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you to wait on a message from the angel of the Lord, okay? This is the apostolic era. Things were a little different here, okay? But the point is, Philip went from being just your everyday, average, faithful churchgoer to receiving a word from the angel of the Lord. He receives instructions to head south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. If you're familiar with the map, Jerusalem is north, east of Gaza, so that makes Gaza southwest of Jerusalem. And so the angels instructed him to go down to the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a desert place. And you know what? Philip gives no pushback. He's not like, why? Right? He's like, well, why am I doing that? He's obedient, right? This is an angel of the Lord talking to me. He's telling me to do this. I'm going to do it. He is just does what he is being called to do, what he's being commanded to do. And this is really the main point of this whole message, is it's a beautiful thing when people are obedient to God's call in their life. Verse 27, and he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. This is quite an unlikely candidate for a Christian witness from Philip. In fact, we really don't hear much about this particular people group in the New Testament. This is not to be confused with what is modern day Ethiopia, which sits kind of in the hill country of the east and east of the Upper Nile River. This Ethiopia this time, the Old Testament refers to the kingdom of Cush. It was considered the edge of the civilized world. Meaning, like, beyond these people group, we're not sure if anybody beyond there is civilized whatsoever. Both Greeks and Romans had a strong curiosity about this section, about these people. The Ethiopian culture revolved around their very powerful and influential queen, which you saw here hold the title of Candace. That's what they called them. But they were queens. So as Philip obeys the Lord's instructions and heads down to the road that leads to Gaza, he comes upon this Ethiopian eunuch. The word eunuch has two meanings at this point in history. The first, an original meaning, refers to a man who has been emasculated. I don't want to be any more graphic than that, but figure it out. They were to be emasculated because they believed this would lead them to live lives of purity and help them avoid corruption for the sake of serving these queens of Ethiopia. These boys, when they reached maturity, they would serve in different parts of the kingdom under the queen. One of those places was as a financial secretary or as a treasurer. In fact, eventually, the word eunuch would lose its original meaning, referring to an emasculated man, and become known as a synonym to the word treasurer. Because every one of these treasurers were eunuchs. So they just assumed if you were a eunuch, you were a treasurer for the queen. So we do not know for certain if this man was a eunuch by the original definition or the later definition, meaning he was a treasurer for the queen, or both. Anyway, this was a man who has committed his life to serving with honor and with integrity. He had a desire for good, or he would not have been a treasurer for the queen to begin with. But he had also come to Jerusalem to worship. Did you catch that? The last part of that sentence? He came to Jerusalem to worship. So he had some understanding of Judaism because he went to there to worship. So let's keep going and see what happens. Verse 28. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Not only did this Ethiopian eunuch have at least some understanding of the God of Israel, he was also reading the prophet Isaiah. nothing that has happened in this story so far is coincidence or an accident. The angel of the Lord went to Philip and said, hey, go down to this road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he goes. It's not that he just so happened to find this Ethiopian eunuch. This is what we call today a divine appointment. This is the sovereign and providential hand of God about to call a sinner to himself. And yes, he uses means. Think about it. What if Philip just threw a fit, like, I have stuff to do. I'm too busy to go down to that road. Because Philip was obedient to God, a man's eternal destination was changed. We're constantly coming up with excuses to not share the gospel. I'm too afraid. Well, I'll mess it up. Well, what if they're smarter than me? What? There is no what. Do what God's told you to do. Do we really believe if people die apart from Jesus, they go to hell? Do we really believe that? Because we don't act like it. Either one, we don't really believe it, which is a problem, and therefore that's outside of Christianity. Or two, most inside the church do believe it, we just don't care if someone goes to hell. Which I would say is also outside the bounds of Christianity. Or we're letting fear consume us and not doing what God's called us to do. Hell's a real place and real people go there. And the gospel is the means God uses to rescue sinners from the flames of hell. This is the sovereign work of God through a faithful servant of Philip. Including the fact that the eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah. Of all the Old Testament books, Isaiah offered the eunuch the most hope. Because Isaiah speaks of God's promise to the eunuchs who keep God's word and are obedient, that they too will be included in the kingdom of God. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 56. But moving on, verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, okay, first he received word from an angel of the Lord. Now the Spirit says to Philip, go over and join his chariot. I'm going to pause there for just a second. This is the apostolic era, so God would speak to these men audibly. He would give them visions and stuff like that. That apostolic era has since ended. But let me tell you something. God still speaks to us today. He speaks to us through His Word, and He speaks to us by the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I want to ask you a question. Has the Spirit ever moved you, spoken to you, told you to go do something? You know you were convicted about it, and you ignored it. You suppressed it. I'll never forget. I've shared this with you before. I'll share it again, though. I walked out of Walmart one time, and there were some people from a different religious group with their information set up outside of the Walmart doors. And I pretended they didn't exist. I'm like, I could feel this. Hey, you need to talk to them. But I just ignored them. I went to my truck. I sat down and cranked my truck. And man, the Spirit would not leave me alone. I'm like, I'm not going to feel right if I don't go back up there and tell them who the Jesus of the Bible is. And so I did it. And I'm telling you, God would not have left me alone. The conviction would have been so strong. We had a beautiful conversation. Did they become converts at the end of it? No. That's not my department, though. That's not your department. Your department is to be willing to do what God is, through His Spirit, is telling you to do. I hope this is relatable to you. This is how God... How do I know God's calling me to do something? It's not like He says, Jim, I'm calling you to do this. What has the Spirit giving you a desire for? If you have no idea, you need to seek the Lord on this. You read the Scriptures. But one of the easiest ways to know if God is calling you to do something is if you have a passion and a care for this, whatever it may be. And that you actually have a desire to do it. I'm not saying there's not worries, there's not unknowns. Philip had no idea what he was walking into when the angel of the Lord said, hey, go down to this road. He just knew it was an angel. He knew it was the Lord, so he went. And now here we are with this man's eternity about to be changed. Just how many people's eternity could be changed if we would, when we saw somebody we know needed to hear the gospel, if we just took 10 minutes and shared it with them? World would be a different place. Verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join his chariot. Once again, Philip does not give any pushback. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? I love this account. Again, it's just an example of a man obeying and not questioning what God is calling him to do. I'm sure that when he saw this man was a eunuch, he's like, ah, man. He sent me down here for a eunuch? These people believe differently than we do. They have a different culture. But Philip doesn't do any of that. He does not question God. He just is obedient. The Spirit tells Philip to go, and Philip goes. Again, has God been calling you to something? Has the Spirit put something in your heart that you know is something that you ought to be listening to, something that you ought to be obedient to, but you're suppressing it and pretending like it's not really happening? Don't keep ignoring it. Don't keep suppressing it. Trust and obey like Philip does. He obeys, and he approaches the eunuch, and he hears him reading from Isaiah, and he asks the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? It's like, that's such a simple thing. Philip didn't know how he's going to begin this conversation. But in God's providence, he hears the eunuch reading, and he starts it with this way. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? The people that stood outside Walmart that day, hey, they have lots of information. They have the word Jesus on them. Hey, do you actually know who Jesus is? Can I share with you who the Jesus of the Bible is? It's not that hard. We just have to be faithful. So Philip asked the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And this is his response. Such a humble response. An honest response. He says, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. What a beautiful and humble recognition of one's own inability to understand some things without somebody teaching us and guiding us. This is a heart ready for the gospel. And sometimes you encounter these, right? Sometimes you have somebody. These people are out there, y'all. God has been working on them. They're either at their wit's end or they've tried everything else and nothing else has worked. Or maybe they've just been hearing about Jesus for the first time. These people are out there and God has been preparing them for such an encounter like we see right here in this passage. And we got to be like Philip. It's not our job to determine whether somebody is in the same place as this eunuch is or not. It's our job to be like Philip and be obedient. Most of the time you're going to be rejected. Yeah, that's not, you know, not for me. But sometimes you get an Ethiopian eunuch. Because God has been preparing for that meeting. And it's not just one-on-one witnessing. This can be applied to so many things in life. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. Maybe God's calling you to be a foster parent. Maybe God's calling you to adopt. Maybe God's calling you to be more involved in missions through giving or going or prayer or all three. Maybe you went on vacation somewhere one time. And you look for a church to go to on Sunday because I know you all go to church on Sunday even when you're on vacation. And there, you find that there's not a biblical church around. Maybe God's calling you to plant a church somewhere that really needs one. You know, I don't know what it is, but you got to sense that Spirit's call in your life and grab a hold of it. Don't keep suppressing it. Don't keep ignoring it. Because it's not going to go away. If it has gone away, I'd be worried. But this eunuch, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he invites Philip to come up on his chariot and join him. Verse 32, now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. You don't think this is providential? I mean, he's reading about the Messiah right here. And he is already familiar, we could safely assume, with the promises that God has made for even the eunuchs who are obedient to him. So God is working in this man's life, in this man's heart. Already. And that's why the angel of the Lord told Philip, go down to this road. The time of this man's conversion is now. There was a time marked from the foundation of the world when God chose every child of his to be his. But God does, in the fullness of time, providentially bring about the means that gets you from when you go from a rebel to being one of his. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Yeah, just because God's sovereign in all this does not mean he does not use means. And that's what's happening here. The eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Well, we know, obviously, who the prophet is talking about. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Oh, you mean you can share the gospel from the Old Testament? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you better believe it. The gospel is throughout the Old Testament. the New Testament is the fullness of time coming to pass where all these things take place. So he begins with the Scriptures. He's like, yeah, let me tell you that this passage right here, the prophet's talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 36, and as they were going along the road, Philip, all of a sudden, normal church member to being a deacon, to having a preaching and teaching ministry, to receiving a word from the Lord. Now all of a sudden he's in a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch going down the road. That's how God does it. That's how God does it. I went from a heathen child to God converting me, to him putting men in my life to disciple me, to all of a sudden I'm headed down the road to Kentucky for seminary, and now I'm preaching to you guys here on Sunday morning. It's not because I'm just a normal person that's just being obedient to God's call in my life. And you can do the same. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. This is pretty neat. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? This was a man that was excited about what God had just done for him. Through Philip teaching the gospel from the Old Testament. He wanted to be baptized right away. That is the first act of obedience as a Christian, is to be baptized. Make your profession of faith public. I just got a sweet little card just before service started. Or one of our young ones here in the church has now said she has become a Christian and would like to talk with her pastors about baptism. So we look forward to doing that in the coming days. But people had to be willing to share this stuff with her. Right? Parents, pastors, Sunday school teachers. Sometimes it takes an army. Right? Sometimes it takes a one-on-one conversation. We don't know how all that works. We just have to do our part. Here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Another thing I really, really like about this is it's not like Philip said, oh, well, we gotta do the 12 steps of being a disciple of Jesus, and then maybe if you are still sincere, then we can baptize you. No, you trust God that he has changed this man, saved this man, and you go baptize him. I think we as Baptists sometimes can kind of be sinful by withholding baptism from some people. Oh, I need just a little more evidence, a little more conversation. No, you know what? Trust that God saved them and baptize them. If it turns out to be an apostate later, that's not my department. That's between them and God. Should we use discernment and wisdom? Yeah, I'm not saying throw all that out the window. I'm saying we can be a little silly sometimes when it comes to baptism, right? Let's trust that God saved them. That's what Philip did. Philip shared the gospel. By the way, I just want to point this out. You may not have noticed it, or you may have. There's not a verse 37 here. It goes from verse 36 to verse 38. The reason is because the older and more reliable manuscripts of the New Testament did not have verse 37 in it. Verse 37 was added by a scribe later on. And basically, it's the scribe saying, okay, we're going to assume that this Ethiopian eunuch made a profession of faith between here and here, and that's why Philip agreed to baptize him. Now, that obviously did happen, but again, that is not in the older and more reliable manuscripts. That's why it's omitted from much of the Bibles today. Okay? Good? But the man obviously made a profession of faith. Philip shares the gospel. The man said, I believe it. Hey, there's some water. Let me be baptized. You know, this thing, hey, the kingdom of heaven grows one soul at a time. One conversation at a time. I think sometimes we just want revival to break out so bad, and that's not a bad thing to want that to happen. We want an outpouring of the Spirit to happen so bad that we forget that this thing happens with one soul at a time. We just focus on that, the person that's right in front of us. Hey, before you know it, that one leads to a multitude. He commands his chariot to start. They both went down, and Philip baptized the eunuch. And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. The language here, you know, it could mean that the Spirit supernaturally, like, put Philip in a different place altogether, or the Spirit moved Philip to move on down the road to the next person, next town, next place. Could go either way. Philip continues to be obedient. God has just done a work in this man's life. And then just to close this out, Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. That's what Philip's doing. He's just being obedient. He's not patting himself on the back. He doesn't see what he is doing is some kind of prestigious honor or anything like that. He's just, hey, God saved me. He's called me to this life. I'm just going to be obedient to him. That's what he's doing. And as he's going, as he's being obedient, God is bringing fruit from his ministry. He can do the same through your life. And he will. If you're faithful. Again, I don't know what God's called you to do, what kind of desires he's put in your life, what the Spirit has prompted you to do. Maybe it's to not ignore the person when they're in need. Maybe it is something what we would consider big and huge, like go on a mission trip or plant a church or something. I don't know. But I know we can't suppress this stuff all the time. Can't keep ignoring it or pretending that it's not there. When you be like Philip, be obedient to God's call in our lives and trust that he will bring great fruit of it and from it. So let's pray together. Go ahead and ask you to stand with me. I'll pray, and then we'll, as always, we'll have a time where you can respond to the word. God's put a call in your life, or the Spirit's moving you in such a way, and you've been ignoring it or suppressing that. Now's the time to deal with it and be honest with God, honest with yourself. If you'd like to talk with me about that, I'll be down front in a moment to do that. So I'm going to pray, I'm going to say amen, and Brother Zeb will lead us in a time of response. If you want me to pray with you, I'd be happy to do it. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that we would be more like Philip. Lord, just quick to obey, slow to question and doubt. Lord, that you would make it clear to everyone here what you've called them to do, what the Spirit is leading and pushing them towards, Lord. And I pray that we'd be obedient and grab onto it, not suppress it, not ignore it, not pretend it's not happening. Lord, there's a world out there that desperately needs to hear your word, your gospel. Lord, we just need to be faithful. So Lord, I pray that you'd give us all the hearts and the desires for the people to do just that. Or if there are other needs, Lord, I pray that you would, in your grace, Show each one of us what those are. May we cry out to you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.